You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in chapter 47, another short chapter. Looks like in all probability we will finish up Jeremiah next time we meet. So we'll pick up here, and like I said, if anyone has any comments or anything, I would like to hear from you. My email address is posted there at the website. And if you'll put my name, Nicholas, or Cross the Border on the subject line, that way I can identify those emails out of the thousands that come in here. And then I can address your concerns. If you have anything, any information, any challenges out of the Texas Receptus, of course, I expect you to get out your eSword. You go to e-sword.net and download the program there. And you can study these things out for yourself, and I would welcome it, because the fact is, I do want to be right. If I'm going to be on the air here and teaching and preaching out of the Word of our Heavenly Father and making comments, I want to be right about what I'm doing here, and it's a very serious thing to me. I don't want to be doing anything wrong. And if I find that I've done something wrong, well, I definitely want to correct that. If you can be helpful in that, then blessings to you, and your comments are welcome. So crosstheborder.org. Okay. We're in chapter 47 of Jeremiah, and I might as well just start at the top here, since I didn't mark where I left off. Another short one, 7 verses. The word of Yahuwah that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith Yahuwah, behold, the waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels. The father shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth. For Yahuwah will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Captor. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long will thou cut thyself, O thou sword of Yahuwah? How long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing Yahuwah hath given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. And of course, the personification of the sword, and that is the sword of the Lord, or the sword of Yahuwah against the Philistines. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 1. Again, against Moab. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken. Misgab is confounded and dismayed. Of course, these would be the cities of Moab and the Moabites. There shall be no more praise of Moab. In Heshbon they have devised evil against it. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also thou shalt be cut down, O madman, the sword shall pursue thee. And here you see, I see another thing that I see happening in America. You have no more praise. They have devised evil against it. What have they devised evil against? That there should be praise in the land. There shall be no more praise of Moab. No more praise of it. No more praise from it. They have devised evil against it. Against what? Praise. And what praises our God? What praises the God of Israel, Yahuwah? What praises him more than anything? Why, obedience to his law and his word. Isn't obedience the highest form of praise? I mean, what is it if you go into a building and you sing praises and tears come to your eyes and you swoon in the congregation, but then you leave there and the first thing you do is continue in your idolatries. The first thing you continue is compromising every law of God for mammon. What is it? It's nothing. It's not praise. Without obedience, your praise is absolutely worthless. Yes, you may have an emotional feeling. You may swoon in the congregation. Tears may run down your eyes, but it's all empty emotion. It's all, and that's what they love to drive. The world loves to drive and control people by emotion. That's right. And that's why women and children rule in the nations that have been forsaken, that have forsaken him, because children and women are ruled by emotion. And that's why in a nation where he rules, the men will rule, because they rule over their emotions. There shall be no more praise in Moab. They have cut down. O madmen, the sword shall pursue them. Also thou shalt be cut down, O madmen. Verse 3, a voice of crying shall be from Horonaim, spoiling the gates of destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhith, continual weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy words and in thy treasuries, thou shalt also be taken. And Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together. And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as Yahuwah hath spoken. Give wings to Moab, that it may flee and get away, for her cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that does the work of Yahuwah deceitfully. There we go. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. Sounds like America. Sounds like the generation that I live in. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Verse 12, chapter 48. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and they shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How say ye, we are mighty and strong men for the war? Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is Yahuwah of hosts. Yes, the king, whose name is, and it says in the authorized King James Version, the Lord. But is that his name? No, it is not. The King, Yahuwah of hosts, is his name. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him, bemoan him, and all ye that know his name, say, how is the strong staff broken, and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory, and sit in thirst, For the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitant of Aroer, stand by the way and espy. Ask him that fleeth and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell ye it in Arnon, that Moab is spoiled, and judgment is come upon the plain country, upon Holon, and upon Jeazah, and upon Mephaath, and upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth Diblathiam, and upon Kiriatham, and upon Beth Gamal, and upon Beth Neon, and upon Kirioth, and upon Bozrah, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. And of course, these were all cities of the Moabites and around about. And of course, all these cities were named after men who founded families that grew up, and their and these cities or these townships would be comprised of these families of Moab. And I recognize one there, Kirioth, because everyone knows about the man from Kirioth, do they not? A very famous character from the New Testament. The man of Kirioth? Yes, they called him. His name actually had a Hebrew name, and his Hebrew name was Judah. But of course, it was translated into the English as Judas Iscariot, which actually means Judah, man of Kirioth. So we recognize that city. Yes, Judas Iscariot is a translation, Judah of Kirioth, man of Kirioth. Because of course, Ish in Hebrew means man. So if you have Iscariot, which is actually translated Ish Kirioth, which means man of Kirioth. So we know that Judah was from a city of the Moabites. How about that? Judas, I mean, let's talk about this. Get the name as it's translated to us, Judas. His name was really Judah, but he was a man of a city of Kirioth, a city of the Moabites. So we know where Judas came from. We'll continue here. And upon Kirioth, upon Bozrah, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far or near, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith Yahuwah. Make him drunken, for he magnified himself against Yahuwah. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. For was not Israel in derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. That's right, they were rejoicing in Moab. Apparently, that's what this is a reference here. They skipped for joy. You remember like those guys, the so-called Jews, that were dancing and laughing and having and skipping for joy because of the fall of the Twin Towers. And how about all of those Arabs over there in the Mideast that had a big party and they celebrated when they saw the Twin Towers fall? Well, that's the kind of thing that the prophet here, the voice of Yahuwah, is referring to through the prophet Jeremiah here to the Moabites, because they were gleeful when they saw Judah fall. So they skipped for joy. Oh, thou, not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Even if we take joy in the destruction of our enemies, if we laugh and make merry at the suffering of others, even though they suffer for their own sins, it's a terrible thing. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, is not pleased with us. Yes, we are to mourn with those that mourn, are we not? Whether they're our enemies or not, because our Heavenly Father, through His Son, Yahshua, said, love your enemies, pray for them to despitefully use you, and especially in the time of their trouble. Because I would rather see my enemy repent and come into a saving knowledge of the Messiah than to take joy in his suffering and have him burn forever in hell, and perhaps even join him there. Now, to save one man from an eternal, or one woman, or one child from an eternity of suffering is worth a lifetime of riches if you can save one. If I spent the next 50 years and only one man came to the saving knowledge of Messiah, and so that their soul could be saved from hellfire forever, if just one, that would make it worth it. That would be worthwhile. 50 years of my life for one, 50 years of ministry and obedience to my Heavenly Father to save one from an eternity, that would be worthwhile. That would be worthwhile. And I think we all should have that same attitude. That the only thing that makes us great in His kingdom is not the size of our ministry or how many people respond or how many we can chalk up as accepted the Lord, said the sinner's prayer this day or at this great event that we held in some great Colosseum where we emotionally moved the people to walk down the aisle weeping and repeat after me. Now, the greatest thing we can do is to live every day in obedience to our Heavenly Father, to have a true desire to do only those things which please Him, because we love Him, because He saved us from that eternal punishment. And yes, I hope that thousands will come by the work that my Heavenly Father is doing from my obedience to Him. And I can't take credit for any of it, because I realize that if only one comes, and I do this for another 50 years, and perchance one, two, very few come, it will still be worth it, because those that come will be saved forever. And forever is a mighty long time. It certainly is. So never think that I can't do enough. You just be obedient day to day. You just be obedient, and you leave the results to Him, because they are His. We are His servants. He doesn't really need us, but it pleases Him to work through us. Our Heavenly Father works through His people. It pleases Him to work through us. I'm grateful for that, because I know He doesn't need us. He could save us all without using any one of us. But somehow that doesn't make sense to my spirit. Somehow it doesn't make sense to Him either, because obviously He doesn't do things that way. He uses these vessels of clay for His purpose and to serve His purpose and to bring salvation and good news to those whosoever will listen and whosoever will come and partake of the bread of His flesh and the wine of His blood. Jeremiah chapter 48. Where did I leave off? Let's see. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. That's chapter 48, verse 28. Verse 29. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogance and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. And I read these words and it makes me fear for America. Is not America just like Moab? Are these words not fitting to the land where we dwell and many of the nations throughout the earth that trust in their riches? And the riches of America have been taken and been spread all over the earth. And America has been stripped, has been raped of her infrastructure and her riches, and those riches have been spread all over the nations. And see what's going on here. Oh, it is so much like the time of the downfall of Judah. So much. America has become the greatest debtor nation. It's going to catch up. It is catching up, unless these people repent. And I don't see. But He will save a remnant. He will save those that are obedient out of the land. And we'll see what will be. I don't know. I don't believe that Yahshua, the Son of God, is coming back in the next 7 years. I'm just going to be frank with you. My study of the calendar is such that I believe that we're going to see many of the things that happened in Judah many of the things that happened in the nations round about, it's all coming round about again. America will be punished, and so will many of the other nations. And, you know, who is America's Babylon? As Babylon was Judah to Judah, who will be Babylon to America? Well, will it be the Chinese? Will you be able to flee? Or will you be so engaged in idolatry when the word of Yahuwah comes? When his Holy Spirit starts to minister and says, flee here, go there. Will you have ears to hear? Will you be listening? Well, if you're engaged in idolatry, if all you can say is, oh, I can't give up the benefits of idolatry. I can't quit my job. I can't leave my money. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, I'm worried about my children. Will you just continue in what you're doing and pursuing the things that you're pursuing? The mammon, the idolatry, the liberty of licentiousness. Or will you hear him? Because, you know, he can save us wherever we're at. But if you're not obedient to him, you're going to be taken. Just like all of these people in Judah and all the nations about. Yes, our Babylon is coming, America. I believe we have several hundred years for all of these things to play out before Yahshua, the Son of Man, sets his feet on the earth, before he strikes the image, Nebuchadnezzar's image, the mystery Babylon in the feet, and shatters it to pieces so that it is driven away like the chaff drives away, like the wind drives away the chaff from the threshing floor, so that there's no more place found for these governments of men. I believe we have several hundred years. Yeah, that means we have a lot of work to do now, and for our children, and for our children's children. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll see you next time. And as always, forever, in everything you say and do, hallelujah.